Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right. I want to play some audio for you guys before we get moving in this conversation, because sometimes, man, it's like the sports gods just know. This was recently that people were talking this way. Now, I remember hearing myself say it last week that I said, if there's leaves still on the trees, don't talk to me about the Ravens or Buffalo or any of these teams. And Mike Greenberg, who earlier today tweeted that the Jets season is one of the biggest disappointments in the last 15 years, even though most of us knew that the Jets were going to be disappointing, he went on Get Up last week and said this about the Baltimore Ravens. Listen to this nonsense that was spewed on Channel 33. For those of you that know, you know.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you guys. All that making fun of me you did when I said he's the MVP of the league. And, oh, no, everyone yelled at me. He's not even the MVP on his own team. Derrick Henry is the difference. You watch that team with him, they are markedly different. Lamar is brilliant. He's been brilliant a long time. This team is markedly different because of that
you remember? Hold on, hold on. You remember?
So Lamar's not the MVP of his team just because he's been good for a long time?
No. I mean, he threw five touchdown passes.
I want to focus on.
In the same way that Randy Moss was the difference when he came to New England, Tom Brady was already a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But that elevated everything, basically to the point of being unstoppable.
Yes.
And that's what this guy has done. If this guy is healthy, nobody beats the Ravens.
When Derrick Henry is healthy, no one beats the Ravens. Even though the Ravens lost in week one of the NFL season with the healthy Derrick Henry, even though they lost in week two to the Las Vegas Raiders, who are one of the five worst teams in the National Football League, and yesterday they lost to the Cleveland Browns. But nobody is beating the Ravens when they have a healthy Derrick Henry. You know what I want to do? I want to go ahead and bury three teams. Now, I'm not burying the Ravens like they're not going to make the postseason. They're going to make the postseason. They're one of the seven best teams in the AFC. I also think they're going to win their division. But that one seed conversation, give me some music, Rob. You've got three losses. It's Halloween. You're four games back of Kansas City. It's Halloween. You are not the one seed. Baltimore, when you go on the road to play Kansas City in the AFC Championship game and it's 13 degrees outside in January, when you go on the road in Kansas City to play the Chiefs and it's negative 2 degrees outside, you have no one to blame but yourself. You lost to the Chiefs. You lost to the Raiders. You lost to the Browns. That one seed conversation, done, finito, kaput. I'm not talking about the Ravens anymore in that conversation. I've eliminated them. There are now three teams who could get the one seed. And I'm only giving Houston and Buffalo respect in this conversation because they still play the Chiefs. Buffalo could be the one seed. It's possible. Houston could be the one seed. It's possible. The Chiefs, they're the favorite. I was looking at the app earlier today. The Chiefs are minus 290 to be the one seed in the AFC. So Vegas is telling you they're overwhelming favorites. But I know who the one seed will not be. it will not be the Baltimore Ravens. So that is our first send-off. We are sending off the Ravens' one-seed chances. You're done. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Take your two-seed, your three-seed. I'd worry about winning the division because you might be going on the road for three straight games because Pittsburgh might win that division. Let's bury another team. Can we bury the New York Jets? I'm tired of the New York Jets. I mean this in all seriousness. I don't want to see the Jets anymore. I don't want to see them on a Thursday night. I don't want to see them on a Sunday night. I don't want to see them on a Monday night. I don't want to see them pop up on the red zone. They're done. They're done. They're the East Coast Las Vegas Raiders. That's who they are. Get them away from me. I don't want to hear about Breece Hall. I don't want to hear about Devontae Adams. I don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers. I said this all offseason. If your escape plan and your savior is a 40-year-old quarterback who didn't play in 2023, it's a bad plan. And you know what the Jets are? A bad plan. They lost to the Patriots. Bro, you cooked. You're not making the postseason. You're not making anything. What you guys need to be preparing for is to draft a quarterback in round one of the NFL draft and telling that quarterback to sit for a year behind Aaron Rodgers. You need to be focused on which one you're going to draft, Quinn Ewers or Carson Beck. That needs to be your focus if you're the New York Jets and not turning this thing around. So, Rob, hit me with a little bit of music so we can send off the New York Jets with their season because they're done. The New York Jets are done, my friend, and I'm tired of them. I don't want to watch them on any more nationally televised games. They got Houston. They got on the road against Miami. They still got Buffalo. They got Seattle. They're done. They lost five straight games. Their two wins are the Titans and the Patriots. You are the company you keep. You're in the same vein as the Patriots and the Tennessee Titans. You don't deserve to be on Thursday night football and Monday night football and playing in these games anymore. Jets and Colts on Sunday night football. Let's go ahead and flex that out right now. Let's be preemptive with this. We got to watch them one more time. Let's get them out of there. Let's get them out of there. No. Put that game on ESPN Plus is where that game needs to be. All right, Rob, there's one more team we need to get rid of. Have you ever been in the process on Sunday? And I'm sure some of you can relate to this. Have you ever been on the process on Sunday when you're thinking about what bets you're going to make and you're kind of talking to your friends about it and your friend warns you? Your friend warns you and tells you, hey, man, I don't trust him. You're like, oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You start arguing with your boy. I had this conversation with my dear friend Ian yesterday. Hey, man, I don't know. I wouldn't pick Cincinnati. Man, they haven't won a home game all year. They're 3-4. If they win this, they'll be 4-4. They're still in the playoff picture. I'm going to roll with them. And then you just witness the money that you paid. You witness it lit on fire. We are at Halloween, and the only teams that the Bengals have beaten are Carolina, the Giants, and Cleveland. And not the Jameis Winston Browns, the Deshaun Watson Browns. That doesn't count. So, Rob, hit my music one more time. There's another team that we need to send off. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. You're done. I also don't want you on Monday night. Don't want you on Sunday night. Don't want you on Thursday night football. You're done. I'm tired of doing this with the Bengals. We give the Bengals these different rules. They start off the season super slow, and then they have to play nearly perfect football to dig themselves out of the fact that they lost four of their first five games of the year. They lost to New England. They lost to everybody. They're done, is what they are. They're cooked. They're not a playoff team. They need to be focused on what they're going to do with T. Higgins and paying Ja'Marr Chase and how they can better block and protect Joe Burrow. That needs to be the focus of the Cincinnati Bengals, not making the postseason. And when they lose to the Raiders at home this weekend, that's going to tell us everything that we need to know. They're done. So I just wanted to go ahead and send off two teams, and one, I've just eliminated you from a certain conversation. I'm not eliminating the Ravens. I'm just telling you they're not in the one seed conversation anymore. And we also can go ahead and put flowers on the grave of the Jets. They're done for the rest of the year. We also can do that same thing with the Cincinnati Bengals, because they too, they share a coffin with the New York Jets. They both are done for the remainder of the season.
It's pretty crazy. They were not even at Halloween yet, and both the AFC East and the AFC West race is over. I mean, that's wild. Like, we know two playoff teams right now, the Chiefs, know when the AFC West is catching them. That's done. And the Bills. The Bills are ahead of the playoffs. Congrats. You get to host a playoff game this year again, Buffalo. Party on, because the Jets, Patriots, Dolphins, Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders have all put up zero, I mean zero, resistance. So, before we even put Halloween candy into little, you know, tubs to hand out, we have two playoff teams locked in. That's pretty cool.
I mean, there's some other teams that I could go ahead and throw the dirt on, but you know what? Some of those teams are just obvious teams at this point. I'm not here to waste anybody's time. You know the Patriots aren't making the postseason. The Browns are 2-6. Tennessee is 1-6. Some of these teams, I don't need to waste your time. You know they're not going anywhere. But some of these teams that are on the fringe, you know what, Cincinnati? You guys should look at being sellers is what you should look at being. The Jets, you guys, I know you were just Devontae Adams buyers. You guys need to look at being sellers. Is Breece Hall available? You need to start having those kind of conversations if you are the New York Jets, because you're done out here is what you are. You are done. Finito is what you are. All right, coming up on the other side, Rob, let's get back to the Kansas City Chiefs after they won on the road yesterday against Las Vegas. Chiefs fans, I want you guys to hold your head proudly about something you did yesterday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chiefs fans, I want to give you a lot of credit for what I saw yesterday, and we'll get back to Joshua Uche here coming up in just a bit. I want to give you guys a lot of credit because I noticed it as the game was going on. It was very hard not to notice it. But at the end of the game, whenever Xavier Worthy scored the touchdown and he ran over to the sideline, for those of you that watch college football, it looked like the Chiefs were the home team yesterday. Now, I understand that Vegas has turned itself into a touristy place for other NFL fans that, you know, it's a bucket list to see your team play a road game. It's a very easy trip to make. It's one of the newer stadiums in the country. So a lot of opposing teams fans are going to go take over that stadium. It is like Chiefs fans wear it with a badge of honor. This is our stadium. It's not yours. It is Arrowhead West. We have won a Super Bowl here. This is our stadium, and you guys are going to be the road team. Rob, yesterday during the game, they were talking about the Raiders doing a silent count. They're the home team. That's what college teams do. What you saw the Chiefs do yesterday is what college teams do. Notre Dame comes in, LSU comes in, and they take over your stadium. And it's not just a little designated area that they give opposing teams fans. Like, we all watch college football where they put the opposing teams fans in this little bitty corner. Rob, you're a season ticket holder for a college basketball team. For KU basketball games, they put the opposing teams fans, they put you up there next to Wilt Chamberlain's number. They put you up next to Wilt's number is what they do. It was 70-30, it looked on the television yesterday. That's what it looked like. It looked like a Chiefs game, a Chiefs home game yesterday. I've said this from the very beginning about Las Vegas. They feel like a team, kind of like the Chargers. They feel like a team without a country. They had an identity. They had a fan base. They decided to chase the bag and move away from that fan base. And now you don't know who they are. Oakland was a tough place to play. They had an identity. You knew if you were the opposing team's fan base that, hey, you can't sit in that part of the stadium. Maybe you want to go to a Chiefs-Raiders games, but you know this is not the part that you can. You feel like you own the joint. You walk in there and you can kick your feet up. Your team is about to come in there. Your team is about to put belt to behind to the Raiders. You're going to take over their stadium. You're going to gamble. You're going to drink. You're going to have a great time and you're going to go home. That's what the NFL has allowed to happen to the Las Vegas Raiders and the Oakland Raiders franchise. They've allowed you to come there, go to Aria, go to Mandalay Bay, have a great weekend. Your team is going to come in here. Your team is going to win. You're going to have a great weekend coming to Las Vegas. That's what they've created. They don't have an identity anymore. What are the Raiders? Honestly, what are the Raiders? They used to be something in the 60s and 70s. The stories, the hatred. That's not what it is now. They created a stadium for tourists is what they've done. They created the only neutral site stadium in the NFL. Even the Rams have a home field advantage. Maybe the Chargers don't, but the Rams have a home field advantage. That's not what the Raiders have. That's your stadium now. You guys loan it out a little bit. You let the Raiders use it from time to time, but we're going to come in here once a year. We're going to buy up all of these seats. We're going to take over. We're going to do our chants, our cheers, and we're going to see. Patrick Mahomes has never lost in that venue before. Patrick Mahomes is almost 30. Patrick Mahomes is going to have 3 children before he loses in that building and win a Super Bowl in that building. They got to change the name, bro. They got to change the name. They got to go with the local Kansas City company, not Allegiant. That place has got to be called Charlie Hustle Stadium. That place has got to be called Boulevard Stadium, Jay Rieger Stadium, Allegiant. You gotta trade the rights to the stadium. That's not your stadium anymore. It's embarrassing what the NFL has let happen to the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. And Chiefs fans, I'm serious. I give you guys all the credit in the world. What you did yesterday, that is something that college fan bases do. That's what LSU does. That's what Ohio State does. That's where you are now. You're the Cowboys now. You're the Steelers. You come in with the towels, you come in with the chant, you come in with the cheers, and you take over their stadium. Congratulations, man.
I mean this in all sincerity. I'm Googling the stat. I'm trying to find it. But I saw a stat that Andy Reid now has as many wins at Allegiant as Josh McDaniels did.
Yeah, I saw that too.
That is an incredible stat.
Doesn't make any sense.
It's just absolutely mind-boggling. You said it perfectly. It's a college team. We, Carrington, we grew up in an era where the Chiefs were great, but there was a lull in like 08 to 13, basically. There was a lull in Chiefs football. And Chiefs fans, you know this. Pittsburgh would come in here, and it would be 60-40 Chiefs fans. There would be a lot of Steelers. Packers, same deal. Vikings, remember Chris Jones sounded off after a game. Why there's so many Vikings fans in the stadium? Lions fans in the opener last year had a ton of fans in the stadium.
It like, was a bunch.
But you know what? The Chiefs are one of the 4 or 5 franchises that do it to everyone else now. For a long time, we saw it from afar. You'd be watching a Rams game. You'd be like, man, there are a ton of Packer fans inside that stadium. Mm-hmm. That is how it works when the Chiefs go on the road now, and it really doesn't matter where. A couple years ago, it was Houston, and Houston was like the destination Chief fan game. Everyone was in that stadium. It was a road game for Davis Mills and co. in their own stadium. This year, Atlanta was the spot. There were a ton of Chiefs fans in Atlanta. You mentioned it. I mean, every year Allegiant that way. Every year Mile High is that way. Every year that it feels like SoFi is that way. The Chiefs, they might not be the Packers or the Steelers because those are just different animals. Like, that's just a different beast. But the Chiefs are far closer to the Packers. They are far closer to the Steelers in the fact that, hey, we're going to show up and we're selling out. Not because we have Patrick Mahomes and we have the best team in the, you know, in the world, the whole deal. They're selling out because our fans are coming and you're about to be overwhelmed. Your concession lines are longer, but everyone's making more money because the Chiefs have walked in.
You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Joshua Uche. The Chiefs have made a trade. They have traded a 2026 sixth-round pick to go acquire the pass rusher for the New England Patriots. So he was a second-round pick back in 2020. He went to Michigan. He had a fantastic 2022 campaign, and now he is a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Bill Belichick, who is now turned into one of the better media members. That is always how it works. They will be terrible as interviews, terrible in press conferences. Then they join the media, and now they become chatty patties. Bill Belichick is one of the best people in NFL media. Why could you have done this for the 20 years when you were the head coach of the New England Patriots? He was on Pat McAfee earlier. He has basically been the general manager for the Patriots over the last couple of years. Here are his thoughts on the Chiefs move.
I mean, look, Pat, how many players in the sixth round in 25 do you think are really going to help the Kansas City Chiefs win? I don't know. I wouldn't say there's probably a long list of them. Could Uche help them win this year? Absolutely. How many players in the fifth round next year are going to help Kansas City win? I don't know. Be lucky if the guy makes the team. I mean, the Chiefs have a pretty good team. Can Hopkins help them win? Sure. Like, those trades don't really amount to much of anything. In the big picture, if you want a fifth back, I'm sure they can move back in the first or second round and get a fifth or probably get five or six of them if they really want fifth round picks. But I think what they need are players that will impact the game and help them, you know, address their depth in different areas. And I think they've done a great job of that.
This is a move that we have seen Brett Veach do so many times over the course of the last 5 to 7 years or so. At this point, it has a name. This is the Brett Veach special. These are the kinds of players that they like to pick up for cheap. It is a buy low. They love a good reclamation project, you know? What's that show? American Pickers? There's some show like that. You guys know what I'm getting at here. That's what the Chiefs are. They like to pick up an Emmanuel Ogba. They like to pick up Damian Wilson. They like to pick up those kind of players. You get them on for pennies on the dollar. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, you didn't really acquire anything. Joshua Uche is coming into this situation with no expectations. None. No expectations. You're not paying him nothing. He's making less than $1 million to play for the Chiefs for the rest of the season. So it's less than $1 million. You gave up a 2026 sixth round pick. You will get that pick back. Whether it is you move back in a trade, whether you make another trade at some point between now and then, maybe you get a compensatory pick. In some ways, Joshua Uche will become free to the Kansas City Chiefs, and all you had to do was give up the salary cap space to go acquire that player. That is a nothing kind of move for the ability to see if he's something. If he's a guy that gets you 3-4 sacks between now and the Super Bowl, you will absolutely take that move. It's a guy that you get an extended look in your system, and if it works, great. We'll bring you back next year on another cheap one-year kind of contract. If it doesn't work, hey, we appreciate it. We took a dice roll, and it didn't work out. These are the kind of moves that the Patriots we saw do in front of us for 20 years. This is a really smart move. I don't want to paint this like this is some home run move, but no one should look at it being a home run move given the compensation that you gave up. If that's the kind of compensation that you have given up, trust me, the NFL was shopping that player around to anybody. There's no money attached to it. Every team in the league has a sixth round pick two drafts from now. Kansas City sees some value. They love players that they've scouted before, that they trust. It didn't work in its current situation. And now they think with this system, with this scheme, with this defensive coordinator, we think we can make it work. That's good. Now, I am curious your thoughts about this, Rob, 913-586-7965. I don't think this has any bearing on the future in regards to the trade deadline for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe the Chiefs make a move by next Tuesday. Maybe they don't make a move. I don't think that Joshua Uche is stopping you from making a move. This is nothing on the salary cap, and you didn't even give up an asset in the upcoming NFL draft. I do not think that adding $1 million worth of salary in a 2026 draft pick is stopping you from getting Deontay Johnson if that's who you really want to go pick up between now and the end of the deadline. If there's another corner that you want to pick up because of the injury to Jalen Watson, and we saw that Najee Johnson left the game with a concussion, I do not think that this trade is stopping you. This is a pure and strictly depth move for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is not the kind of swing that we just saw them take with DeAndre Hopkins, where you gave up an immediate pick to go pick him up. So I still think the Chiefs are potentially buyers. One of the great things about being as good as the Chiefs are is you'll get the benefit of the doubt. If the Chiefs want to make another move, great. If the Chiefs don't want to make another move and they think they have enough now in-house to go win the Super Bowl, their track record would tell you that they're probably going to be right. So it's a little bit of a free roll, so to speak, for Kansas City the rest of the way. I would still like to see them make another move at wide receiver. I'm still all for a late-round pick swap in this year's NFL draft. Maybe you trade your sixth-round pick this year, you get a wide receiver back, and you get that team's seventh-round pick, and you maneuver around the board a little bit. You bring on two players, so Uche and a wide receiver to be named later at a relatively low cost. You can still fit all of those guys in under the cap. You're still anticipating getting Charles Omenihu back at some point between now and the playoffs. You're expecting to get Hollywood Brown back between now and then. There's still some player movement to be had. I am still on the side of them going out to get another receiver. I don't think that this trade has any impact on that.
I agree. I don't think they're done. But I think their next move is going to look a lot more like this than it did, maybe not the D-Hop trade, but it's going to look a lot more like this than the Amari Cooper trade. Maybe that's the best way to say it. I think the Chiefs might add a corner. They might add another wideout. I think it's probably one of those two positions. But I think it's far more likely they give up a conditional sixth or a 2026 fifth. Or something in that vein when it comes to compensation for a player, more so than what the Bills get from Amari Cooper. Basically, I'm saying I think it's more likely they're going to add DeMarcus Robinson for nothing than they add Deontay Johnson. I think a corner who might be a Mike Hughes type, very toolsy but never had it come together, and they give up a seventh for him is the move coming. I don't think a splash and we go, whoa, they did that? The way the Bills did when they added Cooper, or the Jets did when they added Adams. I believe it is late round pick or late round next year pick for a depth type of piece that has upside they believe they can get the most out of. I don't know they're done, but I think the idea of them making splashy moves is done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and that makes a lot of sense. You know we love a good cross-sport comparison here. I won't even make a basketball reference here. This feels like a Paul DeJong kind of move for the Chiefs. That's what it feels like to me. A guy who can come in, and you remember, Paul DeJong had clear weaknesses, but a guy that could hit for a little bit of power and you felt comfortable putting in your lineup. That's who Josh Uche sounds like to me. He is a guy who has shown you if you put other good pass rushing pieces around him, he can have some success. I'm not expecting him to come in here and be an 11 sack guy the way that he was in 2022. But if you were telling me that Mike Dana is potentially going to miss a little bit more time than maybe we had anticipated, and now your rotation of players is Felix Onyedike, you got Joshua Uche, you got George Karloftis, you're waiting on Charles Omenihu, that's a pretty solid defensive line that you can get through. And you also can get ready if an injury happens. You got to be prepared for these things in the National Football League. I don't have to tell you guys, being fans of the Chiefs, that you got to prepare for injuries. That's all this season has been for the Chiefs, is preparing for an injury. They had an injury at running back. They filled it with Kareem Hunt. They've had injuries at wide receiver. They went out and they've made trades. Mike Dana didn't play in yesterday's game. You went out and you made a trade. So this move to me is not about the future, but it could potentially be about the future, right? Like, let's see how the rest of this season goes. But I do think it's about building depth for your roster and also preparing for possible attrition that can happen between now and the end of the season. I want to play for you guys a couple of cuts. Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today. He believes that Deontay Johnson is going to get traded here in the next week.
Deontay Johnson, in my mind, is going to be traded by next week. I don't know whether it'll be this week or next week, but I expect that Carolina and Deontay Johnson will part ways and each side will go its own way. And the question is where he winds up. And I think he gets traded. I think we keep waiting for a Cleveland to trade Za'Darius Smith. It's another guy that I think would be on the lookout here to be traded. And those are some obvious names as we speak. There'll be others. We've already seen a busy, active trade deadline period with all the wide receiver movement and Davante Adams and Amari Cooper and DeAndre Hopkins. More will be coming. Deontay, I think, will get moved at some point in time here.
I will be very, very curious. Very, very curious to see what Deontay Johnson goes for. I could be the only person doing this, and that's perfectly fine. It will be impossible for me to not look at the trade compensation for the three wide receivers, and I am removing Davante Adams for this because, one, I don't think the Raiders were ever going to trade him to a team in their division. Like, I don't think there was a chance that Davante Adams was going to be playing against the Raiders this weekend. I don't think that was going to happen. And I also think that he was going to the Jets. If Deontay Johnson gets traded, you had Amari Cooper get traded, DeAndre Hopkins get traded, and then we think that Deontay Johnson is going to get moved. Now, we know what the first two guys have gone from in terms of compensation. I'll be very curious to see if Deontay Johnson gets traded, what he gets traded for, and how much money the Panthers are willing to eat. And then we will have all the information because I'm now on the other side of this. I don't think the Cooper Cup is being traded. I think the momentum has now shifted the other way. The Rams are only one game back in their division. 4-4 is atop the NFC West right now. So I don't think the Rams are going to be sellers anymore. So I don't think the Chiefs are getting Tutu Atwell. I don't think they're getting DeMarcus Robinson. I think the Rams could win that division. If you were telling me that San Francisco doesn't feel like the Niners of old, and we're still not sure when Christian McCaffrey is coming back, and Seattle's okay, and I guess Arizona's all right too, I think the Rams are still firmly in that division. And they play Seattle next week. So I think we're going to get a lot of answers, at least when it comes to the Rams. But Adam Schefter was on Pat McAfee's show, and he does not expect a trade involving Cooper Kupp.
Cardinals in first place in the NFC West, and I think the Rams are one game back.
Yep. Yeah.
And, the Cooper Kupp stuff, all the conversations about it, I think the Rams were being a smart, intelligent, forward-thinking organization pondering two different worlds. What if we don't win here before the trade deadline and the season gets further away from us? Could we, would we consider trading Cooper Kupp? Well, in that scenario, of course, we'd have to look at it if we got the offer that we wanted. But they won, and now they're a game out. And so you heard Sean McVay after the game say, no, we have Cooper Kupp, and we're not moving off Cooper Kupp. And that's what I expect. You're one game back. You're a different offense when Kupp and Nacua are out there the way they were Thursday night against the Vikings. And, unless some team steps up and gives them something that I can't envision, Cooper Kupp is staying in L.A. and will be there past the trade deadline.
So that was Adam Schefter. I don't think that Cooper Kupp is getting traded anymore. I certainly was on the other side of that last week. I did think they were going to move on. The fact that they won on Thursday Night Football against the Vikings, the fact that they are only one game back. I mean, out of the four teams in the NFC West, the first three teams are 4-4, and the Rams are 3-4, and they play Seattle coming up. So I just don't think that the Rams are going to wave the white flag and they're going to trade Cooper Kupp. They probably should trade Cooper Kupp, especially because Puka Nacua looks so good on Thursday Night Football, and I still think you can get a pretty decent draft pick for Cooper Kupp. But NFL teams, they are just usually inclined to go for it. And I think the Rams are at least going to try to go for it. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's get back to talking a little bit of college football. Man, you almost had it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. K-State fan, I'm going to tell you this off the top. This is the segment that you probably don't get as much credit that you deserve. I don't care how many points you won by against KU. You won a rivalry game in the Big 12, survive and advance. We saw Nebraska give Ohio State everything that they could handle this week. No one remembers this stuff. All you need to worry about is winning the rest of your games. You don't care how. You don't apologize how. I give K-State a lot of credit for how they battled, how they competed, how they ran the football. Avery, you can see his development. So, K-State, I don't want you to feel like you get slighted in this segment at all. I want to give you your props off the rip. Let's talk about Missouri. Missouri fans, I'm talking to you specifically. We all made a lot of excuses for this Missouri team the first 6 weeks of the season. We could tell that the car was leaking oil, and all we did was make excuses. They did not play well against Boston College. They didn't play well against Vanderbilt. I would argue that they haven't played well really all season, aside from the garbage teams. Any team that has had a pulse this season, Missouri has been extremely bland. My biggest frustration is this. This is year five. Year five of Eli Drinkwitz as the head coach. In 5 years, he has been unable to develop any quarterback on his roster. Brady Cook was not yours. Brady Cook was left by Barry Odom. You have had 5 years. You have not recruited. You have not gotten a transfer. You have not improved the quarterback position in any way. Now, I'm sorry an injury happened to Brady Cook. I really am. And maybe this season would be different if Brady Cook was healthy all year. But it's football. You know what you should always be prepared for? An injury that could possibly happen to your quarterback. And we saw that Missouri is not prepared at all for an injury. That Drew Pine kid, he's bad. He's really bad. And I wouldn't usually be so critical of a college kid, but you know what? Drew Pine probably makes more to do his job than I do to do this job. He stinks. There's really no other way to put it. He stinks. And as long as he's the quarterback at Missouri, they should strongly consider running the Wildcat. The effort's not there. The energy's not there. The whole feng shui has been off with this Missouri team from start to finish. Now, Missouri will probably win 8 or 9 games, and that would be good under most years. All Missouri had to do this season was not regress. Nobody is saying that you had to be Georgia. Nobody is saying that you had to be Texas. Could you be A&M? Could you be Tennessee? You're not those schools. You're just, eh. So you know what, Missouri? You're going to go to the Alamo Bowl or the Holiday Bowl or the Pop-Tart Bowl or the Independence Bowl. And in some years, you know what? That would be celebrated. I don't feel like celebrating this year. Missouri is worse in every single facet of playing football. They're not better at anything. And that's a direct reflection on coaching. It is. It's a direct reflection on coaching. They're not better on offense. They're not better on defense. They're not better on special teams. It's just frustrating. It's that simple. It's just frustrating. All right, Rob, let's talk about your team. I'm not going to be super hard on your team, even though your team, I saw someone say that Missouri was the biggest disappointment from the preseason top 25. I was trying to figure out what happened to Florida State. I was trying to figure out what happened to Kansas. Sure, Missouri might be going to the Alamo Bowl. What bowl game is KU going to? And when are they playing Florida State? Missouri ain't been good. They haven't been Florida State. Let's not do that. KU. This is the same story that we've seen all season. Jalen Daniels, he shows you flashes that he is still the quarterback that many of us thought that he was going to be at the very beginning of the season. And then in the same breath, some nonsense will occur. The interception he threw down the middle of the field. KU is putting a drive together at the end of the game. Jalen, you got your 4 or 5 yards. You got to get down and not take a hit. You got as many yards as you were going to get on this play. You got to live to play another down. And at no point this season has he done that. Has he lived to play another down? And his mistakes, they have drowned the Jayhawks this year. That's their biggest problem this season. There's other problems with this team. Don't get me wrong. Their biggest problem is that their quarterback is a turnover machine. And they're just not talented enough everywhere else to overcome it. That simple. They're not good enough at all the other areas you got to be to overcome the fact that you consistently lose the turnover differential. And you knew it when Jalen Daniels fumbled that ball in the fourth quarter in the middle of the field. You knew K-State was going to win. If I was in I was texting all of my friends. It was K-State -1.5. Hey, are you awake? Are you in Kansas? Please place this bet for me. K-State's going to win this game. No one answered. I couldn't ask Rob to do it for me. I'm going to tell Rob to put a bet in for me against his team. Rob wasn't going to do that. He wouldn't even answer my text message. So KU, I know you guys are doing your best. You're doing the absolute best that you can. I know that you are. But this season hasn't gone like you thought it was going to go. Missouri. Well, you're something. You're something. You're plugging along. You're going to win 7-8 games, and I'm sure some Missouri fans are going to tout this like this was a great year because they won 8-9 games, and this is only the 14th time they've won 9 games in a year. I'm sorry. I watched these games. Missouri has not been impressive. Missouri has not played well. They've not been good. I don't even know how they're ranked still. It makes me question all the college football I've watched this year. If you're trying to tell me that Missouri is one of the 25 best teams in the country, something's wrong. If that's what you want me to believe, something is wrong. And K-State, salute to you guys. You guys have done what you're supposed to do. Very simple. You guys have done what you're supposed to do. And now you look at your schedule, you just got to keep running a little bit further. And if you continue what you've been doing, you will have 2 games at the end of the season. And if you win both of those games, you have a chance to play for a national championship. There's no reason to lose to Arizona State at home in November in Manhattan, Kansas. There's no reason to lose to Cincinnati at home in November. There's no reason to lose these games. And Houston's terrible. Terrible. Houston lost to Kansas, if that's any inkling to let you know where they are. They lost to KU, and candidly, they got lost to KU. They got boat raced by the Jayhawks. Any team getting boat raced by the Jayhawks, we should question their D1 status. That's how they've been. K-State, if you continue, you will get all the credit you deserve. And leading into that Iowa State game, you guys will be the biggest story. So take care of business. I'm cheering for you. I can't say if Rob's cheering for you. I don't know if all of the 785 and 913 are cheering for you, but Carrington's cheering for you. Will you guys accept me? You guys see what happened when I joined on a bandwagon of a team. You guys don't see that? What team did I tell you I was on the bandwagon for?
Those haters can't stand up. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders. Commanders. Commanders.
I jumped on the Commanders wagon and look what's happened. One of the great regular season endings. I'm good luck. You could use me down the stretch. So, K-State fan, I'm here asking if I can put in my official request. College football season is over for my team. I'm already looking at selling my Oklahoma tickets. I'm not going to Columbia to watch that nonsense. Neither one of those teams have a quarterback. You want me to sit out in the November cold to watch a 13-6 football game? I'll watch that at home. K-State fan, can I be a part of what you guys got going on right now? Just for the rest of the year, you know? Just for a couple of weeks. Let me hop on the bandwagon for a little bit. I'll bring you some good luck. We'll try to get more K-State guests on the show over the next couple of weeks. Let's go and sign Derek Young up. We can have John Kurtz come host the 5 o'clock hour with this K-State fan. I'm ready. You know what? It's been a while since you guys have had an afternoon host. I'm ready to be that after. I'm ready to fill that void in your life. It's been, what, 4 or 5 years since K-State has had an afternoon I'm here to be that person for you. Please accept me.
Those haters can't stand up. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders.
Let's make a song like that for K-State. Who do we need to contact? Let's get the Dick Ray guy to make a K-State song. That's the best idea I've had in a long time. Let's get the Dick Ray guy to make a K-State jingle. That's something Mitch Holtis will be on board with. He's coming up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.